Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
And we'll look forward to visiting with Bill. The British Open at Carnoustie in Scotland. Zach Johnson really got the bad end of the draw, and they talk about that a lot at the Open Championships, whether you play in the morning and then in the afternoon or vice versa. Weather can play a huge role. Today and yesterday, Zach seemed to be on the wrong end of the draw, yet he persevered. He was out early today, posted a 4-under par 67, and that lead held up. Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids in the lead at the Open Championships. He is tied with Kevin Kisner, the first-round leader. Each are at 6-under par. Zach Johnson making his 12th straight cut in the Open Championship. And he and Kisner hold a one-stroke lead over a group that includes Tommy Fleetwood, Pat Perez, and Xander Schauffele. A lot of very good players lurking. Rory McIlroy at -4, along with Matt Kuchar and Tony Finau. Jordan Spieth with a solid 67 today. He is at 3-under, 3-back, along with Ricky Fowler, and it just is shaping up to be a terrific weekend as 28 players are within 6 strokes of the lead. And Kyle, I don't know that you were here with KGYM yet in 2015.
Only as a street teamer.
Okay. 2015, Zach Johnson won the Open Championship at St. Andrews.
And you know what? I was actually on the air that day doing a Dr. Pepper stop.
Uh-huh. Well, it turns out that, I mean, that was a big deal. We've got a framed newspaper, front page of the newspaper here hanging in the KGYM studios. And months after Zach won that Open Championship, Pat Cobb of the Zach Johnson Foundation, scheduled guest before that tournament, he came in with a case and brought it into the studio where we sit right now. And he opens it up, and there's the claret jug.
No way.
The claret jug that Zach, in that picture right there, this is not good radio, but as I look to my right in the frame picture, Zach is holding it aloft in his right hand. The same claret jug that Zach hoisted was right here in the studio. We got a chance to hold it, take our pictures with it. And this thing has been, you know, it was at the Zach Foundation tournament. A lot of people got selfies of it as well. But it was truly, a thrill to hold that. 147 years now. This year, they've been holding the Open Championship, and just to see some of the names on the trophy was wow. And I was talking to Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn in the sports office before the show. Of all the trophies, Kyle, that you could hold in your hand in sports, what would be the most coveted? Because I told them, you know, I'm not a big hockey fan. But if the Stanley Cup showed up in the studios, I'd be impressed. Maybe not as impressed as the claret jug or a green jacket from the Masters, because I'm a golf guy, okay? But, I mean, you're talking about the Lombardi Trophy. Alex chose the Heisman Trophy. Would it be the World Cup Trophy?
I guess
does one thing stick out to you?
I'm gonna stretch the boundaries of the caveat that you have to be able to hold it in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I'm actually gonna go, and I'm not a big hockey fan, but the Stanley Cup is a regal piece of it is a beautiful trophy. It's so big, and I think it's cool. I was just thinking about this a couple of weeks ago. You can actually like fill it up. It's a cup. You can drink out of it. The Stanley Cup is a great
trophy. Same thing with the claret jug.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think I would go Stanley Cup.
Okay. 319-366-1600, our Hertzien and Stocker Jeweler text line or our phone line. You can feel free to weigh in on this subject or any others. during the course of the show. I mean, a lot of things have to happen for Zach and for even Pat Cobb to bring back the Clara Jug to our studios. It's a very clogged leaderboard, and there's 36 holes to play. A lot of great players on that leaderboard, but he's there. He's tied for the lead. Zach Johnson goes into the weekend with a chance to capture his third major championship and his second Open championship, his 13th tournament overall. Again, a lot of things can happen, but, you know, I'd like his chances better than Dustin Johnson's chances because Dustin Johnson is missing the cut. Number one ranked in the world, as is Justin Thomas. He is not going to make the cut. So Zach does hold a better than even chance, in my mind, of winning another. 52-32 on the text line. It's got to be the Stanley Cup. I got a chance to see it at the stable a few years ago. There's a certain mystique about it. Don, the Ohio State fan, 43-99, he would like to hold a gold medal in his hands. Let's see. David and Hudson, give me the Wimbledon trophy. If somebody wants to weigh in on the phone line, right? Matt and I, Matt in Cedar Rapids?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Hey, guys. Nice to chat with you.
Hi, Matt.
The size and scale of the Stanley Cup is unprecedented. You can't go wrong with that. And look how many guys have fun with that thing after it's all said and done. You know, you see Spieth as well with the Claret Jug, you know, on social media having a lot of fun with it too. But the cup is just made for guys like Ovechkin to have a great time.
Mm. It travels around the country and the world, right?
Yeah, and people are wowed by it everywhere it goes. I mean, the Claret Jug's beautiful, and it's got a lot of history. But the Stanley Cup is so striking just because of the scale and the weight and everything else.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for weighing in. Thanks for listening.
I think he hits on...
You can't go wrong with the Stanley Cup.
No, and that's kind of... There are two aspects of it, and I think he hit on both. The size and the scale, it is just a striking piece of hardware to behold. And then, like he said, there's really... What other trophy at all do you really hear about people taking out and having a good time? You know, what trophy parties better than the Stanley Cup?
Well, you could see it on a dance floor in Pittsburgh or, birthday party in Montreal, The Claret Jug makes its rounds, too. I mean, on the plane trip back, they were when Zach won it, and I'm sure it's happened other times, other players are drinking out of it. I mean, it makes its rounds if it showed up here in the studios.
That's true. That's true.
It's got to make its rounds if that's the case. Again, 319-366-1600. Doug.
Oh, God.
On the text line. How about the Cy-Hawk trophy? LOL, sarcasm.
What about the one with the family and the bushel of corn?
That's history,
that
man.
That got rejected?
Yeah. 7409, UNASH would love this. How about the Indy 500? The BorgWarner trophy is very cool. A lot of historic names on that trophy. There's no question about that. 1753, I agree with the Stanley Cup. Each player and coach gets their own day with it. Throws a party just because they get the cup. It's unbelievable. So true. I agree. If it makes its rounds, let the Stanley Cup come to the KGYM studios one day.
I think it's only a matter of time.
It was up the street at the stable, right? Cedar Rapids Ice Arena?
That's what...
Yeah, I was at the Ice Arena at least once. And a lot of folks got to touch it and take pictures with it when it was there. We're going to get to Jeremiah Davis real quick. He of the Inside Track blog covers racing all around Eastern Iowa and the Midwest. Let's go to Jeremiah coming up next.
Lindsay McGrath for the McGrath Used Car Campus in beautiful Hiawatha. This is why you shop the Freedom Celebration.
Free yourself from high prices.
Now through Monday night, use cars from $29.88.
Free yourself from high monthly payments.
Monthly payments as low as $88.
Free yourself from high down payments.
Buy with as little as $88 down during the Freedom Celebration now at the McGrath Used Car Campus here in beautiful Hiawatha. Over 2,500 used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Down payments from $88, monthly payments as low as $88. Used cars from $29.88 and used trucks from $99.98. Shop Sierras, Silverados, Acadias, Yukons, even Wranglers.
Free yourself from credit problems.
Nobody works harder than the McGrath Used Car Campus Credit Crew to help get you approved. The Freedom Celebration through Monday night. The McGrath Used Car Campus in beautiful Hiawatha, I-380 and Boyson Road.
Celebrate online, McGrathAuto.com.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Acme Tools is celebrating 70 years of serving the contractor, woodworker, and do-it-yourselfer, and we want you to celebrate with us. This week only, receive up to a $150 gift card with select purchases. Get free tools and accessories with qualifying purchases, and instant trade-ins up to $100 on select power tools, plus many more in-store specials and daily deals. Don't miss the 70th anniversary sale at your nearest Acme Tools location on Blair's Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids. Do your best work.
Doing HVAC work has given you some good opportunities. Now, how about an even better one? Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is looking to represent residential commercial HVAC workers. Being with 263 means you're part of the union, and union jobs offer better pay, better benefits, and better job security. Those are things that mean a better life using the skills you already have. Work with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263. Give Rick a call at 319-721-9414. 319-721-9414.
Welcome back to the gym class at 319 on this Friday. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Coming up, we'll give you a chance to win another $30 gift card to La Cantina, and we'll give that away here in the next 20 minutes or so. Stay tuned for that. We'll also be talking about cheating in youth sports and visit with Bill Yeisley of the Cedar Rapids Officials Association. Those two subjects are not mutually inclusive. So right now we want to talk to Jeremiah Davis. He writes on the Inside Track and also has another affiliation we're going to talk to him about right now. Welcome, Jeremiah.
How are we doing, guys?
Doing well. And I didn't realize that weather and racing were synonyms.
Well, in what context? Because you could be talking about a bunch of different things there, Mark.
Well, you know what? Let's go to Marshalltown, actually. I mean, our friends there suffered a horrific tornado, a lot of damage in that town. I'm not sure what, if any, damage the Speedway incurred, but that town has been devastated, and I'm sure things have been put on hold for a while there.
Yeah, they canceled the races for tonight, early this morning. Actually, I think it might have been yesterday afternoon. Yesterday after everything settled down right away. The track itself and the grounds didn't sustain any damage, but they did lose power, of course, like most of the town did, unfortunately. But in hearing from racers, I haven't heard if any racers, you know, equipment was damaged, you know, like in terms of shops or their race cars or trailers or anything like that, but you know, that is one of the best racing facilities in the Midwest. I'm not just going to say Iowa. That place is awesome. And Toby Cruz, the promoter there, does a great job. And that community supports that racetrack really well. Marshalltown's a really tight-knit place. I know that. I'm not spent a ton of time there, but they have worked together really well, you know, to build something that's really cool. And, you know, Central Iowa, unfortunately, the state of Iowa, we've dealt with all manner of natural disasters, you know, whether it's flooding or tornadoes or snowstorms, whatever it is. And we always seem to bounce back because of the rally together. And I think the racing community is going to step up in that way and help out, because if they weren't affected as badly, then they're going to be able to, you know, take this time where they're not racing to go help other people.
Those words very true. And weather, although not serious as last night over there in Marshalltown, Pella, and Central Iowa, it has affected other tracks, including Hawkeye Downs. I know the Downs are hopefully trying to get back on the track tonight, right?
Yeah, they've been off for a couple of weeks, unfortunately. They had a week off for the 4th, and then rain claimed them last week, but it's still free to get in tonight. I think all you have to do is go buy a Pepsi or something like that from Casey's, and you'll get in free tonight. I think that's how it works. Like I heard that on the radio. Pretty cool deal. Casey stepped up to sponsor a night out of Hawkeye Downs and get some people in, get some tickets for them. Hopefully that brings people out, because I know Joey Gase is going to be racing next week. So you want to come out for that too. It's just that the weather, if the weather holds out and it can be nice enough tonight, I hope anyway that everybody can get on out, because they've had a couple weeks there, almost a month, where they haven't raced.
Yeah, Joey, of course, on the Xfinity circuit, occasionally on the Sprint Cup. He'll do a Sprint Cup race here and there, but it'll be exciting to get him back here. And I know that's for a donor network promotion, right?
Yes, yeah. And he's done this the last several years where he'll race Friday night before either one of the two Xfinity races. And I know he was really wanting, chomping the bit, actually, to get back and do that this year, because he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to. And Iowa Donor Network supports him really well. And they work together, actually, I should say, to bring awareness to that campaign and to get him on the racetrack. And to see his, like, it's always fun to see either him or Landon or any of the old names that come back. I know Tim Plummer was supposed to race last week. I think he might be racing this week in honor of his uncle Martin Schulte, who's going into the Wall of Fame, or went into the Wall of Fame last week. So he's going to be, I believe, going to be in the 71 car, normally driven by Mark Greb. And so he's going to kind of make his return to the pavement. So it's just always cool when you see some of the guys that have raced for a long time and had a lot of success at Hawkeye Downs come back and kind of recreate that.
I noticed you have a new gig, maybe simultaneously with your blog, The Inside Track, but a Dirt Modified magazine. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a really cool deal. Mike O'Connor is from here in the area, actually co-owns the number 60 late model driven by Ben Seaman from up in the Waterloo, Cedar Falls area. He and a group of them, they published Dirt Late Model magazine and Dirt Modified magazine, and we kind of got together and made a plan, and I'll have a column every month in the magazine, and then every once in a while I have feature stories in the magazine, and then when those come out in the magazine, they'll also go on my website. So it's kind of a co-branding thing, and it's really cool for me, because I'm hopefully going to be able to widen my berth a little bit in terms of what I write about and who I write about, you know, so it's not going to be just Eastern Iowans for the magazine, which is cool, you know, because I want to write more about the USMTF guys and some of the UMP guys and what's going on outside, just a little bit outside the Midwest, maybe in the South as well. So it's a really cool deal, and I'm really excited about it. And, you know, I just hope people enjoy the column so far. I've got one come out so far. I wrote about social media, and I think it's been fairly well received by a few people that have given me some grief, but that's kind of proven the point, I suppose. You know, and as these next ones come out, I hope people understand what I'm going for and the voice I'm trying to shape with the column.
Yeah, I read that first column, and I found it very interesting as more of a novice fan than anything else, but I do follow racing, and I found it really an interesting subject that you tackled, and whatever is wrong, if anything, with racing, we have ourselves to blame. It was your premise, right?
Right. Everybody seems to want to blame social media. That's the first thing. I guess Twitter and Facebook, it's their fault, because before then, people didn't anonymously bash racetracks and didn't get such a bad name. And while part of that might be true, like I'm not going to deny that people are more willing to throw an opinion out there that they wouldn't say to somebody's face, that mentality lives within that person. I don't want to get super psychological. I know it's a sports show, but, but like that if you're willing to say that to somebody anonymously or not, you're willing to say it. And that's bottom line. And that, you know, if we're going to talk about personal responsibility, it starts with us instead of, you know, just the platform's fault. And I just get really annoyed when people either shut down Facebook comments or delete Facebook comments or won't listen to negative criticism, because we need to have a balance. We can't complain just to complain, but we also can't ignore constructive criticism. And I just think that starts with us looking at ourselves a little bit in the mirror and what we're doing to either support the sport or change the sport for the better, as opposed to sitting behind our computer and just, you know, letting it unfold and adding to the cacophony, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I want to talk about Landon Castle a little bit. And, you know, early in the season, he hooked up with Starcom Racing. And you know better than anyone what that original deal was like, but I thought it was only a short-term deal. And now he's that's been extended as he's performed throughout the season. And I think he's going to be at New Hampshire this week, right?
Yep. Essentially, what the deal is he's in the seat unless there's extenuating circumstances. And those extenuating circumstances are somebody has a sponsor that the team can't turn down. It's an unfortunate situation to be in. No doubt about that, that money plays that big of a part. But obviously, Starcom likes Landon. He's not a rent-a-ride. I can say that for certain. He's a contracted driver, and that's why with the pay to drive situation, when somebody brings that money, that's why he gets bumped, because the team needs to make that money and he gets it. They get it. There was no wool pulled over anybody's eyes. And essentially, you know, obviously that's not an ideal situation, but it's better to be in the car than not. And if he wasn't in that car, he'd probably be racing a Hawkeye Downs right now. So, being on the grid every Sunday is a good thing, even if you're not in a situation that's super ideal. But you know, they're working hard on it, and I know he's working hard on his craft. And you can always get better at giving information, I guess, is the best way to put it. Even if you're going to run 30th or 35th every week, you've got to know how to adapt, because if and when a chance does come with a very good team, he's going to be way better at giving feedback than anybody else who's never had to deal with really adverse scenarios.
There's a story out of Loudoun, New Hampshire in the last day or so. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's some advocates, including Tony Stewart, who owns a half-mile track in Ohio, and he's kind of playing off the success of the World Truck Series events, and he'd like to see more races on dirt. More the big guys racing on dirt.
Oh, absolutely. I could not agree more. If you get the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series at Eldora, Knoxville, those types of places, you know, the dirt fan is the fan that NASCAR needs to get back. They're the ones that they lost over the last 10, 15 years. It's just a fact. And mm-hmm. I know that because I've asked a bunch of them. I'm racing with a bunch of them right now. That's just what NASCAR has to deal with. And what's the best way to do that? Adapt. And it's going to be like fish out of water. One of the most entertaining parts about the truck series at Eldora is that those trucks aren't meant to race on dirt. And those drivers don't, most of them anyway, aren't experienced on dirt. So what ends up happening is entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, get a bunch of guys who haven't raced dirt in a long time or never have, with racing around guys who know it but haven't raced that car on dirt, and it's the recipe is only going to be positive. And the people of that, you know, that area of Ohio support that racetrack, always have, and seemingly, I shouldn't say always will, but they've supported it over and over and over for years. And I think that's a sign that we need to point in that kind of a direction, where we're going to different kinds of racetracks, different formats and that kind of thing. You know, bring in a street course, bring in a couple road courses, short tracks, dirt tracks. It's got to be different. If they're going to the same place every week, it's hard to stay engaged. And that's not just for casual fans. That's for the diehard fans, too.
And there hasn't been a Cup Series race on dirt since 1970, so I don't know if we should hold our breath there.
It's probably not something that's going to happen next year, but NASCAR is open to these things. They're open to change. The problem is, you know, it's the same conversation with Ohio Speedway. The the tracks have 5-year contracts on the schedule, and I believe that's got another year or two on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so until that expires, the only way Eldora or Iowa Speedway or Road America or anywhere else that isn't currently on the schedule gets on the schedule is by another track losing a date or giving one up. Because Eldora is owned by Tony Stewart, Iowa Speedway is owned by NASCAR. They're not owned by the two major, ISC and SMI. That's the only way, is if a track closes or they willingly give up a date. And I think you and I both know how willing SMI and ISC are going to be just to, casually give up a race,
right,
for, and all that money for somebody who they isn't padding their pocket.
Before we let you go, Jeremiah, tell us what's going on maybe this weekend and a week ahead. We already talked about Joey Gase at Hawkeye Downs next week.
Well, I'm off the radar a little bit on what exactly is going on because I'm down in Downing, Missouri,
oh,
which is just south of about 2.5 hours south of Cedar Rapids. I'm racing go-karts this weekend. So I've got the Max's Midwest Series today and tomorrow. And then Sunday, NASCAR's at New Hampshire. So I'm not – my pulse is not on exactly what's going on. I know Deary Brothers was just at Columbus Junction and the Hawkeye Dirt Tour. The Dirt Nights Tour was just at Knoxville. I haven't seen results from either of those. I apologize. I've been so busy at Castle and getting the go-kart ready that I'm not as prepared as I normally am for today. I apologize.
Well, if you bring back checkers, we'll forgive you, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Jeremiah, thanks. Next week we'll visit Scott, you, Nash, and myself with you, okay?
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Jeremiah Davis joining us. Check him out on Twitter and the Inside Track by Jeremiah Davis on Twitter. Again, he's also writing now for Dirt Modified magazine. When we come back, we're going to talk another episode of Cheating in Sports, unfortunately. But before we do, we're going to give you a chance to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina. You can spend that gift card in one of the three locations in the metro area, the Fountains, downtown Cedar Rapids, or in Marion. Go ahead and weigh in. If you're the sixth caller, you're going to have an opportunity to spend that gift card. Caller number six coming up right now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our 4-day super sale, July 20th through the 23rd. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains, you can cool off with colors like SW Frosty White or SW Icy Lemonade. Hurry, this sale won't last forever. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store and talk to our experts today. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to announce that KFC's new Crispy Colonel Sandwich is now available in a $5 fill-up. Why? Because who wants to spend $7 on a meal at a burger place when you could spend $5 on a new KFC Crispy Colonel Sandwich, wedges, a cookie, and a drink at KFC? I mean, we specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the new Crispy Colonel Sandwich and a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Napa Know How.
If you're a fan of quality parts, Napa's a fan of you. And we're showing the love all week long with double points for Napa Rewards members. Not a member? Not a problem. Just sign up when you check out to get double points in your entire purchase. But don't wait to get rewarded. Double points and Sunday. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
Offer available July 16th through July 22nd.
Welcome back to the Gym Class. 3:36 on this Friday. Hope you're having a great one out there. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann along with you today. Scott Unas returning next week from his vacation. Hope he had a good one, certainly. The post-All-Star schedule in Major League Baseball got underway last night, continues today with a full slate of games. Right now, the Cardinals clubbing the Cubs 12-1 at Wrigley Field. Tonight, Twins baseball on the air, 107.5 FM at 7 o'clock as the Twins visit Kansas City, kicking off the second portion of the season. Ran across a story from last week, Kyle, and please weigh in, folks, if you have had a similar experience in youth sports. 319-366-1600. This happened at the Triple Crown USA Nationals. Very highly regarded season-ending championships, the 16 and under version. The Jacksonville Storm girls fast pitch team was stripped of its national championship within 2 hours after the completion of the championship game. This taking place in Georgia. Triple Crown Sports was contacted by team representatives following the completion of the game, notifying them that they had played two age-ineligible players in the semifinals and then one in the championship game. Both were over the legal age limit to play in the age group. This brings up a lot of questions to me, having coached youth sports, never having a team in the national in a national tournament, but several teams in state play. And in all those state championships, whether it was AAU or CABA or what have you, as I recall, I had to have birth certificates of every player on the roster. And then I assumed that the organizers of the said tournaments checked it out. And are you really believing that the coaches of this Jacksonville team didn't know that they were not age eligible?
No. The easy answer is no, because presumably we don't know these people. We don't personally know the people involved here. But at this stage in the way that youth sports works, especially once you get to, you know, these serious travel teams, these people know each other. You know, like maybe they come from different communities relatively close together, but you know, you kind of know these people. Okay, you know their parents. Your kids know them. I mean, there's really no way that you don't know how old they are.
I remember coaching my son's baseball team, and I think they were 12 at the time. Maybe you've had a similar experience, Kyle. I think they were 12. And we're playing a tournament in Olwine. And eventually, I don't think out of the chute, but eventually we played the Olwine team. And the starting pitcher trots out. He's bigger than me. He has facial hair.
Bad start.
I mean, it was just a weekend tournament. We're not doing birth certificates and all that sort of thing. But I'm saying to myself, how can this kid be 12 years old? Really? I think we ended up beating him. I don't remember for sure, but I mean,
it had to be a blow to morale.
Was this kid really 12 years old?
I don't know. And the first thing I got to thinking, I think I'm curious to hear from the listeners if you guys have been close to anything like this. Doesn't necessarily have to be age, but really any circumvention of the rules I'm kind of interested in. But I had one myself in my own baseball league, or it wasn't my baseball league, but this wasn't even USSSA or, you know, national travel team. You know, it wasn't that serious yet. This was just sort of in a community league. There was one team, one collection of players each year who, you know, the way this worked is you get all the coaches together and they do a draft. So if you had a coach who knew the new names and new players, knew who they were, there was this group of players who would just mysteriously end up on the same team year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always great. They were fantastic. They were like the most athletic kids you knew, but then they were, you know, really good at baseball. Well, it came out eventually they got in big trouble for using illegal bats, not sanctioned. outside of I don't know if they were too heavy at the time or what. I don't recall exactly what it was. It's probably over 10 years ago now, but that sent shockwaves through our community, through our little community league. But then actually I got to looking and thinking for, you know, other big cheating scandals, especially in like little league settings. And somebody mentioned this to us on Twitter. It was Danny Almonte.
Mm-hmm.
I actually remember playing in the backyard with my friends back in 2001. I was like kindergarten or a first grader playing one-on-one baseball in the backyard. We would pretend to be Danny Almonte. Oh, I'm going to fire this fastball in. I'm Danny Almonte. You know, turns out he was 2 years older, 2 years older than he was supposed to be. And that was definitely not a mistake. There was a big cover up there. They had to do an investigation
after the Little League World Series.
Sure, you know much more details and recall it much better than I do. But that was the first big cheating scandal I could recall.
Yeah, I remember I was watching the Iowa City Regina a game last night for the state championship. Regina lost that game 4-3. Heck of a game. And the commentators were talking about some of the Regina girls playing on a team that was in the Little League Softball World Series. And I think it was a team from Rhode Island or Washington that had a similar circumstance that they were playing a player or players that were older than they should have been. 5899 on the text line says, or claims, the age thing runs rampant in girls' softball.
I wonder what it would be about softball that makes it more prevalent in softball as opposed to, you know, baseball or even, you know, basketball or something like mm-hmm. that. I got to thinking, what does this say about parents and kind of the culture of youth sports now? Because this actually isn't even that super uncommon. As 5899 claims, it runs rampant in girls' softball. I mean, I cannot myself speak to how true that is, but you know, if he knows more than I do, then maybe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just as recently as 2014, if you recall that the Jackie Robinson West team from
yes.
the south side of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
you know, they that coach for that team went well outside the boundaries for, you know, for his district.
That was a district. They were supposed to be all from the same district,
yep.
right?
Relatively.
And he plucked a few outside the district. Is that right?
If I recall, only 5 of the 13 players on that team should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And so and that also was not that wasn't just a mistake. He actually sent, you know, he sent altered maps when he turned all that stuff in. He really tried to circumvent the rules. And even that, you know, there was the year after that, there was in the Softball World Series, I guess this is a totally different type of scandal, but do you recall Iowa was actually involved in this? There was a softball team at the World Series it was a team from Washington, threw a game against North
Carolina. That was the same thing I was talking about with the Regina girls.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But you remember a friend of KGYM, mainly the Todd Brommelkamp show, if not the Afternoon Players Club, John Vandervelde, the former offensive lineman
yep.
At Iowa. He played on a Little League World Series team for Davenport at one time. And he was so much bigger than the other kids. But he's on the up and up. I understand kids grow at a different rate and whatnot. But it just raises an eyebrow when that example I gave you of the kid from Olwine. I don't know what he's doing now. But it was an eye-opener, and that was not a big deal because it was a weekend tournament, and we all went on. But when you're in the national championships or state championships, I think it's the overzealousness of coaches and sometimes parents
mm-hmm.
to circumvent the rules. And in the case of this Jacksonville team, I mean, you're coaching a 16 and under team. You have a birth date cutoff. As a coach, I'm going to check and make sure that all my kids are of age. And if one isn't, you're going to try to slip them through. Well, obviously, they tried to slip these through.
Yeah, and the thing that, I mean, you're not supposed to cheat, but the thing that really kind of leaves a sour taste in my mouth is, you know, I was kind of making the point that presumably all these girls know each other fairly well. Those other girls would most likely know that those two players were older. And
yeah,
so,
like 2 grades older than us.
Right. And so you know, you've kind of brought in these, you know, how old are they? 14-year-old?
16 and under.
16. Yeah. You've brought these 16-year-old girls knowingly into this secret, you know, the coach's effort to cheat and, you know, for what? You know, a title? I mean, I know a championship is serious, and of course that's what you want, but to be so shady and to go to such great lengths to get some 16-year-olds involved in your scandal, it seems like too much. You gotta have a lack of morals for that.
Danny Almonte, now 31 and assistant baseball coach at a school in New York City. What does he tell his players?
I don't even know.
Is he really 31? I don't know.
I had to look him up just to see how he's doing, what he's looking like. And he actually looked a little bit like Bartolo Colon to me.
Let's take a break. I want to give ample time to Bill Yeisley of the Cedar Rapids Officials Association. We'll talk to Bill next.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative, member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. With an active personal checking account, you're eligible to earn. Over the past 2 years, DePaco members have shared more than $6 million in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco and earn thank yous for doing so. Yay! Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and an active personal checking account. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Now it starts at noon, and you just need to call by 11:30 to enter. The entry fee is $30, and there are no green fees. Plus, all entries are returned. Play is on a Stableford format, which gives every golfer a chance to win, regardless of ability. There will be team, individual, and skin winners. The Wednesday game is the best game in town, and it's only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA LLC has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Tomorrow would have been Robin Williams' birthday. He was always larger than life with his bold talent and wild laughter, yet he carried an invisible private pain that led to his suicide 4 years ago. It can be difficult to see the pain inside others. And if you are the one suffering, it can feel unbearable. You're not alone. At the gym, we care about you and about all the people who are important to you. The suicide hotline number is 800-273-8255.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back, 350 in the gym class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann along with you this week. And Scott Unas back from vacation next week. Look forward to that. Hopefully hook up with Bill Yeisley here in the next few minutes. If not, we will reschedule him. The Open Championship at Carnoustie in Scotland, the 147th version. Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, shares the lead with Kevin Kisner at the midway point of the championship. Zach went off early today in off and on range, shot 67, 4 under par. And again, he's tied for the lead at -6 with Kevin Kisner. Tommy Fleetwood, Pat Perez, and Xander Schauffele in a group at -5. Plenty of pursuers as 28 players are within 6 strokes of the lead. Rory McIlroy, Matt Kuchar, and Tony Finau, each 2 back. Jordan Spieth with a 67 today. He is three back at minus three alongside Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott in it, Kyle Stanley, and Jason Day and Tiger Woods both at even par. So it's going to be actually Phil Mickelson at even par as well. It's going to be a wild, wild finish, I've got to believe, at Carnoustie. Poll question at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Will Zach Johnson win his third major this weekend? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Did we say that John of Cedar Rapids won our La Cantina's gift card?
That's right.
Okay, cool. Clock is ticking towards football, and KGYM Radio is going to bring you all the sights and sounds from Big Ten Football Media Days in Chicago, Monday and Tuesday. Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, with several guests lined up. They will be on for 4 hours Monday and Tuesday, again from Chicago. It's recommended listening, and if you can't catch it, we will have podcasts available as well. Again, Twins baseball tonight on KGYM Radio, 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Talking with Cal Eldred, our the pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals. The Royals are the Twins' opponent tonight, and really good interview with Cal on Tuesday. The podcast available at KGYMRadio.com. But Twins get the a second portion of their season started tonight against the Kansas City Royals. Again, first pitch, 7 p.m. One afternoon game right now. The Cubs, I want to forget about this one. It's 12-1. St. Louis just completed the fifth inning. Is that right, Kyle?
Yeah, and, you know, there was a brief moment after the Cubs walked in a few runs, and I think it was the fourth inning, just an awful inning. Yeah, they gave up seven runs, but there was a quick moment there where it started to downpour really bad, and maybe for about 10 minutes you thought maybe this game gets washed out and the Cubs just kind of get a mulligan on the whole thing, but couldn't be so lucky. It's going to be one of those days, and I've seen multiple people. I don't know why Tommy La Stella is the designated guest, but some people are thinking Tommy La Stella could get a mound opportunity today, so that's always exciting.
Uncharacteristic John Lester. He's really had a good year.
Awesome. If I remember correctly, I believe his 12 wins at the break is his most wins at the All-Star break of his career. So it's been a great year, and he's really always been the one where, you know, the Cubs are playing pretty well right now, but he's kind of been the stopper all year, where if things aren't going well, you can always rely on Lester. Mm-hmm. He's going to give you a good start. And so, like you said, just really uncharacteristic. you get a few of these every year, I guess. Maybe not quite this bad, but I'm sure Big Johnny will bounce back.
Jeremiah Davis joining us previously on the Gym Class. Go ahead. The podcast will be available following the show. Get Jeremiah's input on local and area racing. I'm sure you'd share your sentiments, Kyle. I want to send out my thoughts to all those folks in central Iowa, Pella, Marshalltown, who endured just terrific weather. And it really looked like it was going to barrel down on eastern Iowa at some point yesterday afternoon. But as the storms hit cooler weather, as I have deduced from my meteorological friends, the storms dissipated, and that was fortunate for us, but so much damage in those areas. And as Jeremiah and we were talking about, we've endured so many disasters in our state, and I know other states have done the same, and somehow we always pull together, and I know those folks in those areas will do the same. But just horrific events, and I'm sure you've all seen the videos and the reports on those. Marshalltown at one time, actually, in a related sports angle, used to host the state baseball championships, and I'm not sure if that field was affected at all, but plenty of businesses and houses were. next week as we rejoin you on Wednesday. It'll be another edition of the Caddy Smack Golf Show, that coming up on Wednesday. Brian Haas, Rick Swan, Scott Unash, and myself will bring you that. Depending on the results of the Open Championship, we may talk about Zach Johnson. You never know. But at this point, he's a good story for not only that, us in Eastern Iowa, but for a lot of golf folks. Also on Wednesday, we are going to resume our Lunchbox Heroes program. You and I and Kyle and Scott Unash and plenty of others are going to be in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, bringing another edition of Lunchbox Heroes to workers, and we're very much looking forward to that. Season winding down in that regard, but almost every week, somewhere in the corridor, KGYM and our friends at KZIA have presented Lunchbox Heroes, powered by Built by Pros, and so many fine sponsors have tagged along with us and made it a huge week. But next Wednesday, looking forward to getting back out there and visiting with workers, and actually I think office workers this week, a group of about 50, 60, 70 people, getting that on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, and we'll bring you the highlights of that on Wednesday. As we close out the program, Kyle, I really want to thank you for joining me all week. We sit in different chairs this week, but I think we made it to the finish line.
Yeah, we did all right. Decent week.
Good guests.
As we, I have one question for you as we take off. We're only halfway through. There's still half the tournament left to go, but what does your gut tell you about Zach Johnson?
I think he will finish in the top 10. I think it's going to be very difficult to win, but I wouldn't put it past him. He's been there, done that, but a lot of folks pursuing him. Folks, thanks for listening. Hopefully you'll return on Monday for coverage of the Big Ten Football Media Days, and then the gym class resuming.